If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn back with me to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Ruth, chapter number 1. And we're going to read these verses again. I want to conclude tonight by finishing this overview of the book of Ruth. It is filled with challenges to our hearts and lives. I am grateful that I have heard the gospel that has rung out of the book of Ruth, the glad tidings of great joy. Would you stand tonight as we read this portion of God's Word? And I do appreciate this invitation to come and be here at the High Point Camp Meeting. It is an honor for me every time the Lord lets me preach His Word. I appreciate Brother David, Brother Sam, all of those that take part in this meeting. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Turn over to chapter 4, verse number 13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." You can be seated tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Charles Mustian, if he would, to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Charles, you pray for us. Oh, God, yes. Thank you. Oh, Lord, help us. Cleanse us and strengthen us. Meet the need of every heart. Oh, God, help us, I pray. Oh, God, help me to be an encouragement and a challenge to your people. Oh, God, help us, I pray. Amen. We appreciate the prayer tonight. As I mentioned last evening, the first emphasis that we dealt with, that we see in the book of Ruth, is that it is a book with a horrible beginning, but it has a happy ending. Aren't you thankful that God can take our horrible beginnings and bring about a happy ending? Last evening we looked at a second emphasis, that the book of Ruth is a human story that has heavenly significance. It is the story of Boaz's love for Ruth. And in that sense, we find that there is the heavenly message of grace. Grace that is unmerited, grace that is unbounding, and grace that is certainly unimagined, seen as God works in the life of Ruth. There is the message of the gospel in the book of Ruth. That's what we looked at last night. Thank God somebody bore testimony of that good news to me. Naomi shared her faith with Ruth, and it caused Ruth to want to leave Moab and go to Bethlehem and take Naomi's God to be her God. But tonight, I want to look at a third emphasis for a few moments. You will find that the book of Ruth shares with us a hopeless peril that is met by the hand of providence. Hopeless peril met by the hand of providence. Somebody has asked, what is the providence of God? It is God's protective and loving care for His people. He is looking out for the best for my life and yours. F.B. Meyer said that when we get to heaven, we'll probably praise Him for the things He kept from happening to us that we had no idea that was lurking in the shadows. That is God's hand of providence caring, lovingly, and faithfully for his children. And we find that in the book of Ruth. It is clear from chapter 1 that the life of Naomi and Ruth is filled with misery, heartache, and sorrow. There is hurt and grief that is so heavy that the way is hidden and unclear for the rest of their lives. But I am glad that the providence of God was working in Naomi's life and also working in Ruth's life. I realize when you look at this, the providence of God has a personal aspect. I am thankful that my Lord is actively, presently, and powerfully involved in my daily life. He is not taking a glance at me and then he gets tied up with other matters. Oh no, he has his eye upon my life and he is actively working for you and me. I am thankful that God works nationally. I am glad that God works cooperatively and congregationally. God can work with a great number. He can work with an entire world. But I am ever more glad that God works individually. God works personally. God knows my name. God knows where I live. He knows where I walk. He knows what I feel. And I'm glad for his attentive care over my life. The providence of God is God working one-on-one. It is like the tutor who sits down to that one student, and that one student has the attention of that tutor. The teacher's knowledge, understanding, and abilities are at the disposal of that one student. It's like that ICU, a nurse that has one patient that she is in charge of. She has her eyes attentively on that one patient. She is looking at that person's vitals, checking that blood pressure, looking at that oxygenation, and she has her eye on that patient's heart rate. I'm glad tonight that our Father is watching over us. He is just like the teacher. We have at our disposal an unlimited amount of wisdom and an unlimited amount of understanding. He is there and we have his full attention. We're like that ICU nurse. God doesn't take his eye off of our life. He is there faithfully, devotedly, and every day and every hour he is there for us. I want you to look how he works personally in the life of Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1, Naomi's life has fallen apart. She no longer has a husband. She no longer has her sons. Her home has been destroyed. She has no one to lead her. She has no one to turn to. She is facing traumatic times in her life. She is on the bottom without any direction, seemingly, for her to turn. She is filled with misery. Her spirit is laden with despair. Her dreams have been crushed, and the way before her does not seem to be there. There seems to be no help. There seems to be no hope for her life. But I'm glad, thank God, in verse 6, she hears that God has visited His people again in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. The good news that we dealt with last night, she heard. The goodness and the grace of God manifested again at Bethlehem came to her ear. She heard about it. That wasn't no accident. That wasn't just a consequence. Oh no, I'm glad the God of heaven sent the message to Naomi for her to hear. God was working protectively and attentively in the life of Naomi. He did the same for Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2, the Bible said that she went at the bidding of Naomi to go reap ears of corn. You read that in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. She is going to reap ears of corn. But it was her hap to fall in the field of Boaz. But the thing is, Boaz didn't have corn. Boaz had barley. Now, Ruth has intended to find the corn field, but she ends up in the barley field. Hallelujah. You say, how did that happen? It's the providence of God. She meant to find a cornfield, but God had other plans. It wasn't the corn or the barley that was important. It was the one who owned the field that was important. Hallelujah. And He guided her and directed her. And when she was out there in the field, He came to see about her. Boaz began to tell her everything about her life. Ruth didn't know who Boaz was, but Boaz surely knew who Ruth was. There was a day that I didn't know who he was, but I'm glad he knew who I was. Hallelujah tonight. He is working providentially in a personal way to guide and direct Ruth's life. Aren't you thankful that He is interested in your life? He is interested in the steps that you are taking, and He's got His eye on us. And you'll find, hallelujah, in chapter 2, when she sat down there beside Boaz underneath the tent, the Bible said that Boaz reached her parched corn. Hallelujah. She had her cake and the icing too. Amen. She went looking for a cornfield, but God put her in the barley field. But Boaz reached her parched corn. She got her corn too. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad sometimes God will put icing on your cake? God will put a little dessert in your life. Hallelujah tonight. Oh, he works personally in our lives. But I want you to notice this. Not only does he work personally in Naomi's life, and also in Ruth's life, but he is providentially working in Elimelech's life. You say, preacher, he's dead. You are exactly right. How in the world can you say God is providentially working in a man's life when he has no life to live? Well, I'm a-fixin' to explain if I can. Elimelech is dead, and he cannot do for himself. He is in a state where he can do nothing to help himself. He is dead. He cannot keep his family lineage, nor can he save his family name. He is dead. But God is working providentially in Elimelech's life so that his name will never be lost in the genealogies of the children of God. Hallelujah. He is going to raise up a kinsman redeemer who is Boaz, and he marries Ruth, and that little boy by the name of Obed is carrying on the lineage of Elimelech even when Elimelech has died. I'm here to tell you, when I could not do anything for myself, when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, I could not save myself. I could not pull myself up. I could not help myself. But there was a God working behind the scenes and to bring salvation and life to my soul. The personal aspect. But secondly, and this is my last point, there is not only the personal aspect of his providence, but there is also the frontal aspect. And I mean by that, that God was at work long before the need ever arose. Hallelujah. Say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible then. He is working long before the need ever arises. You see, in the book of Acts, chapter 13, it says that the time period of the book of Judges is 450 years. And I believe that Boaz and Ruth and this episode, which happens during the reign and the days of the judges. I believe it happens nearer the beginning of the book of Judges rather than at the ending of the book of Judges. For if you read the book of Judges, they start out on a good note, but soon and suddenly they walk away from God. And God raises up judges throughout these 450 years to bring them back to God. But finally, at the end of the book of Judges, it has gotten so bad. A sin had become so rampant and powerful that of the 11 tribes of Israel almost annihilated the tribe of Benjamin. There was civil war among the people of God. What a sad state that was. But after Judges comes Samuel. God has got a man to bring his people back toward God, and God is going to raise up a king, hallelujah, to bring the nation together. Judges ends with a divided nation, but God's plan is to raise up a king, not King Saul, but King David. In fact, in the book of Ruth, David is mentioned for the first time in the Bible. God was working to raise up a David to help his people and to bring the kingdom together. And early on here, God was working to do that before the need ever arisen. You see, Nahshon, who is the grandfather of Boaz, was the prince of the tribe of Judah when the Israelites were first numbered in the wilderness. And Nahshon's son, Salmon, took Rahab to wife. I really believe Salmon was one of those two spies Joshua sent out spy on Jericho. And he married Rahab the harlot. And then they had a son by the name of Boaz. And then Boaz falls in love with Ruth, and they have a son by the name of Obed. Obed has a boy by the name of Jesse, and Jesse has a son by the name of David. God was working early on to help his people turn back toward him. You say, is that biblical? It sure is. Before man ever fell in the garden, before man ever sinned against God, the Lord had already seen the lamb slain from the foundations of this world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a God who knows what's out ahead for our life? And he's a working behind the scenes when we don't even know we need his help. Oh, bless his name. That widow woman's son died there in Nain. That
morning, and Jesus was in Capernaum. But when they were coming out of the city to bury that son, Christ met them at the gate. But he had to travel about 20 miles. And with that being so, he had to leave way before sunup, before that boy had ever died. Jesus was already on his way to meet her need. Hallelujah tonight.
I am thankful that he providentially cares and oversees our life. I believe that. I believe he's in charge. And there ain't nothing that can happen to me that doesn't come by him first. I believe that. This ain't something haphazard. No, sir. He loves his children. He's faithful to his people. And I am grateful. Let's all stand tonight. I just want you to know he has got his eye on your life. He knows where you're walking. And sometimes we feel like, well, Lord, do you even care? When all the time he's been a-working to bring things about to help us and to meet our needs. I bless his name tonight. Oh, I'm glad he loves me. Even loves me. You know, I'm amazed that God loved me when I was a sinner. Loved me enough to save me. But I've come to learn, I'm amazed that he loves me as one of his children. The way I do sometimes, I don't deserve to be loved, never have. But I'm glad he still loves me tonight. Bless his name. That's the message of my heart, Brother David. That's what I felt like I ought to do.